listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to today's show, Your Ultimate Life. And today we're going to talk about creation, because ultimately life is a series of creations. Sometimes we get the idea that life is a series of things that happen to us, outside of us. And I use this crazy background here on purpose. You know, it's a little bit funny. It's a picture of, I created it on one of those AI art sites. And I have, I don't know, a couple thousand pictures that I've created there of all kinds of things. And this particular prompt, if you're not watching video, is when I put in about creating the universe or creation or something. And there's a figure in the middle that's, you know, long hair and holding planets in his hand and that sort of thing. And, you know, it could be a depiction of the creator or the creation of the universe or whatever. And I use that background on purpose because I wanted to talk about creation. When we think of creation, mostly we think of some magical act of wand waving, ununderstandable stuff. Well, let's get down to earth here. You created your coffee this morning, if you drink coffee, which I don't, but if I did, I would have created it. You created your breakfast. Okay, we know those things, and it's like, duh, so what, Kellen? So what else did you create? Well, how about your mood? You created your mood. Ooh, I can already hear the rumbling in the audience. I did not. I was on my way somewhere, and that idiot in front of me cut me off, and they created my rotten mood. The fact that I flipped off whatever, and I didn't create that. Yeah, you did. You did. So let's talk about how that's true, first of all, and more importantly, how to do something useful with it. Because the fact that you created it is interesting, but not enough, right? All right, so let's figure this out. If you create your mood, what does that actually mean? Well, where does a mood or a feeling or, you know, all of that come from? If you're really ecstatic or you're really angry or you're frustrated because this or that didn't go your way, you turn in a project and somebody disses it, or you're trying to write a book and nobody buys it, or you got a crummy review or whatever it is. So those external things happen. So let's use something simple and easy to understand before we get to a little bit more complicated stuff. Principles are true all the way through. So I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So you can generally call all of that up here the frozen north. Although, kind of fun, the super El Nino that's happening this year means that it's really warm. Compared to normal, I saw our average temperature thing the other day. It said we are 9 degrees, and that's Celsius, above normal. So it's about 16 degrees Fahrenheit on average above normal. And so we're right about freezing all day, right about 32 Fahrenheit. If you're in the U.S., 0 Celsius, if you're in that place. And normally the average for this time of year in December, right when we're coming up to the solstice here in a week or so, would be minus 10. Centigrade, which would be about, 8 or 10 or something degrees Fahrenheit. So that's what it normally is in the winter, and it'll be that way till April, right? But we're having a warm spell. Anyway, so let's talk about snow for a minute. It's got sidetracked on the El Nino. It snows outside. Now, I can look at the snow, and I can say, dang, that means it's cold. Darn, I wanted to do this, and I needed it to be clear. Or I can say, yay, it means my ski resort's going to have some fresh powder. Or I can say a lot of things. Now, what happens when I see it and then I have this thought? Well, what happens is we interpret it. I interpret the snowfall as good or bad. My interpretation, you know what it does? It causes your body to secrete chemicals in your bloodstream. So if I get pissed off at the guy that cut me off on the freeway, or the fact that the snow's in the way, and I believe that's a bad thing, and believing is really important, we'll get into that in a minute, my body obliges and produces angry chemicals, cortisol, adrenaline, and stirs up a neurochemical cocktail that makes me feel upset. It might manifest in your stomach. You get upset. Shoulders get tight. You might bark at somebody and then say, oh, sorry, I'm having a bad day. You know, all true. Same thing. You wake up. Your back hurts a little. I say that because, you know, I'm 68 and I wake up that way sometimes. A little got to do some stretches to work it out. I can say, oh, it's going to be a suck day. My back hurts. Crap, I got to get some medicine. Oh, I'm out of pain pills or whatever I might say, right? Or I didn't sleep good enough. Darn it, I'm going to be tired today. Rah, rah, rah. And the very act of me thinking I'm going to have a bad day and then believing that thought tells the body to produce chemistry, bad chemistry, crummy chemistry, angry chemistry, frustrated chemistry. And so the body reacts. I have the uptight feeling, the knot in the stomach, et cetera, et cetera. But I created that because I can just as easily look at the snow or wake up with the back pain and just have it nothing. I can say, oh, I have back pain today. Huh, what am I going to do about that? Oh, I know, I can get up and do my stretches. I'm going to hit the floor and do some, you know, yoga stuff and downward dog and upward moose or whatever they are and get the little pillow on the floor and I can do some stuff about it and I can do it without drama. And you know what happens in the bloodstream? Nothing. I don't have the uptight feelings. I don't feel negative. I don't feel crushed, small, retracted, contracted. I don't feel that. Now, I want you to just look at your own life. If you have a feeling in your body, wherever it shows up for you, in your stomach, your throat, your shoulders, or wherever, that's negative, upset, frustrated, limited in some way, and you go to do some creative project, how effective are you? You're not effective. Those chemicals actually make you stupid. Hello? They make you stupid, and I'll tell you why. When you have chemicals of stress, your body robs your cognitive function area and focuses your energy, your muscles, your energy on your legs and heart and large muscle groups and that kind of things. So your creative stuff goes down in ability intentionally because the blood supply is redirected. Now, I'm not talking about a full amygdala hijack where you're all into fight or flight. I'm just talking about average frustration. It redirects your creativity, redirects your compassion, your love. All of your higher cognitive, emotional, and spiritual functions are hijacked by that negative feeling. So now here's the crux. Since you know that, and if you didn't know it before, I suspect you did, but if you didn't know that before now, then why in the world would you ever want to live in a place of being uptight, angry, frustrated, negative, or any of those things that reduce your creativity, reduce your compassion, reduce your empathy, reduce the things that make you human, your humanness, kindness, and compassion? All those things go away when our bloodstream is full of those stress chemicals. Well, the answer is you wouldn't, because two things. One, they don't feel as good. It's not fun to feel stressed or angry or negative or fearful or hateful or any of those things. That's different versions of the same chemical stew. On the other hand, it feels really good to feel love, kindness, compassion, service, included, valued. All of those feelings are just a chemical cocktail. So then the obvious answer is no. Of course, I wouldn't want to feel that crappy one on purpose. I wouldn't drink the poison on purpose. I'd rather drink the good juice. Okay, cool. So how do you do that? Because today my goal is to get to the nitty-gritty so we can talk about creation. Because today is about creating your life. Your ultimate life, which is what I'm talking about here, is a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you truly love every day, that you're excited to get up and join. Now, I have created that, but I'm not saying that to say, yay, Kellen. I've created it from a place of hating my life, created it from a place of being in fear, of trying to prove everything, worrying about when I was going to get in trouble at work, even though I had very high-level executive positions and made ridiculous amounts of money sometimes. There were other things going on that were negative. And so I lived in that soup of worry and fear and jealousy and anger. And it did exactly what I said. It limits your creativity. It limits your ability to get along. And it does a whole bunch of other negative stuff that's not a lot of fun. So I came from that place. And starting in 2007, which is now 16 years, I chose to start life again in a new way and to say, look, I don't want to live like this anymore. So that's what I've been doing for 16 years, is figuring out how this works and how to on purpose create a life where every day is full of purpose, prosperity, and joy. So as I get ready for this conversation, I think about what can I talk about that will be valuable to you right here, right now, in this holiday season, where maybe you're rejoicing, or maybe you're lonely, or maybe you're having a positive experience, or maybe you're wondering why you're left out of everything. Maybe you hate the holidays. Maybe you love them. The reason for putting this here is to offer you an option, because the truth is you create your life. Now that you know that, then the key will be, let's go about creating it intentionally so that it expresses itself like I want it to, so that it feels like I want it to, and so that my experience every day is one of purpose, prosperity, and joy. All right, so back to where we were with having a chemistry full of negative things. When you have your blood chemistry like that, chemicals take some time to process. Now, this is not news, because one of the oldest pieces of advice in the book was, when you're mad, go count to 10. Okay, why do you think that's true? Why do you think that, or some version of that? No, don't count to 10. He needs to count to 100. All of that stuff got said. Why do you think so? It is to give your body time to process the chemistry. We say other things, give him a minute to clear his head, to get his head on straight, to get a good clear vision, to have a better thought. All of those are different ways of expressing the same thing. Because when the chemistry in the bloodstream is toxic, then we react as if it were toxic. Now, I want you to think about another thing that you might be intimately familiar with, depending on your personal habits, is drinking. If you drink a certain amount of alcohol, and I used to be a wild ass drunk before I changed my life in 2007, you can't make rational and good decisions. Why? Because the blood chemistry is off. Your neurotransmitters are the same thing. It doesn't make you stagger around and crash into poles, but your decision-making capability is just as sucky. What's the answer when you have alcohol in your bloodstream? Well, you have to let it process. They used to say things like, you know, bunch of black coffee and everything. No, then all you have is an agitated drunk. Alcohol takes a certain amount of time for the liver to create the chemicals necessary to process it and clean out your bloodstream. Your other blood chemistry is exactly the same. That's not bad or good. It just is. So knowing that, the idea of taking a break, counting to 10, walking around the block, clearing your head, taking a breath, any way you want to say that, is a fabulous thing, because it gives your body, your bloodstream, time to clean out. It also gives you time to pump other chemicals into the bloodstream by what you think. See, now alcohol's different. You can't put other chemicals in there to neutralize it. So that is an example of processing. But how you feel at any given moment is the result of a combination of all that neurochemistry. That's what you feel like. So changing the composition of your neurochemistry is not only possible, it's not difficult to do. You can cause your glands, the elements in your body that secrete those neurotransmitters, to give you positive ones: dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, anandamide. Anandamide is called the bliss molecule. We'll talk about that one in a minute. It's one of the most recent discovered neurotransmitters, and it's really cool. The bliss molecule is kind of the name of it, and it's fun. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. But anyway, so if you got angry chemistry, cortisol and adrenaline, and you're pissed about something because of whatever happened, you have two things you can do. One, you can take a break, 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, a day, to process that and get a clearer view, because the negative fight or flight, angry, retribution, revenge chemistry is out of your bloodstream. Or, and you can do both, you can do that, and you can change the chemistry of your bloodstream by changing your thinking. Now, let me give you an example. If you see a picture on the wall of a lion, and you know it's a picture, and you know it poses no threat to you, you don't get uptight. You don't recoil in horror and fly out of the seat, or you run away. I mean, you don't do that. Why? Because you don't believe it's a threat. On the other hand, if you see a picture, and this is the point of 3D theater and IMAX and all the rest, if you see a picture that feels real to you, then you believe there is a danger, or potentially a danger. You have a belief. It is that moment of belief that triggers the production of neurotransmitters. That belief is what does it. So if you see something and you don't think anything about it, it doesn't create a reaction. If you see something and you stamp it with a belief, that triggers the emotional reaction, positive and negative. So if you want to change your chemistry, then you need to think and believe in positive things. So, for example, some bad thing happens. You lost a deal at work. Your first tendency is to get all uptight, start to blame somebody, feel hopeless, helpless. You're going to lose money, die under a bridge, whatever it is. And for a moment, you believe that. The chemistry comes. You're uptight. You're in a knot. Then you sit down and you say, wait a minute. I've got three other deals in the pipeline. This is not going to happen. I'm not going to get fired. Probably not. And you start to believe those things, what happens? Your blood chemistry changes. We describe it in different terms. You feel better. You get unstressed. Those are the words that we use to describe what's going on chemically. All right, so I'm done with the heavy-duty emphasis on chemistry. I didn't want to spend the whole time talking about that. But I want you to get a clear picture of how this works and why I'm saying you control your life experience. You control your life experience by what you believe is possible. Because remember, the belief is what stamps it with the, you know, it's like, okay, squirt the neurochemistry, squirt the good feelings, squirt the bad ones. So learning to look at things with a neutral eye, okay, this is, what am I going to create here? Or a positive one, there must be a pony in here somewhere. You've all heard that story about, you know, there's a door open and there's a great big pile of horse poop, and one kid runs in and cries and sits in the corner. Another kid runs in and starts digging around in the horse poop. And someone asks him what he's doing. And he said, oh, with all this horse poop, there must be a pony in here somewhere. All that came just from a different perspective. And we laugh at it and think it's funny, but it's true. Real. And he was feeling the excitement digging through the horse poop. Why? Because he believed there was a pony in there somewhere. Now, all of that is just some preamble to give some science behind what I'm going to say about creating your ultimate life. When I say to you, I've created a way to be happy all the time, it's not Pollyanna. I'm not pretending away negative things. I'm not, it's not true that, you know, negative things, whatever they are, I don't even know what that means anymore. But it's not true that things I didn't desire or didn't expect don't happen. Of course they do. They happen all the time to me, like anyone else. There's a leak in the roof. The car breaks down. All of the things that happen, it just happened. What I have learned to do is to simply ask this fundamental question. So I'm going to give you some tools now. These are creation tools. They're like hammers and screwdrivers to build something. And the thing you're building is your ultimate life, a life where you're happy all the time instead of pissed off sometimes. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to live angry, frustrated, blaming other people. You don't have to do that. And you don't have to be a doormat or be stupid in order to have that. You can have it by being intentional and intelligent. So here's one of the tools. Suspend judgment. There is nothing inherently good or bad about a situation. We have conditioned ourselves to believe it. Okay, we've conditioned ourselves to believe that if somebody says this or that, or flips you off on the road, that that is somehow bad. When that happens to me now, what I have chosen to train myself to do is to laugh inside, not outside, because I'm not about making something worse, and then think genuinely in my heart, I'm sorry he or she is having such a bad day. I hope things get better. And I truly wish that. Now, that's just as easy to think and wish as it is to wish they got in a wreck and how come that idiot can't think, you know, whatever that string of thought might be. It's just as easy to have compassion and say, they must be having a bad day. I hope they're okay. Or if somebody's cutting you off on the road and driving like an idiot, I can say, they think they own the whole damn road, you know, that sort of reaction. And that creates, you know, accompanying chemistry. Or I can say, wow, they must be in a serious hurry and I hope everything's okay. And mean it. Now, that takes some work, but you weren't born cursing people out that flipped you off. You weren't born that way, and neither was I. You learned, I learned, through socialization, through cues, through judgments about myself and others, that I should react a certain way. Well, most people don't live an ultimate life. Most people don't live in constant purpose, prosperity, and joy. In fact, they live the opposite of that, which is sort of bashed around here to there by circumstances. Having a good day depends on the outside, things going well for me, good stuff happening. Then I have a good day. What would it be like for you if your good days didn't depend on that? You could have a good day anytime you wanted. Now, it's coming up to holidays. Today's Tuesday, next Monday's Christmas. You can have a positive day or you can have a rotten day. Every day between now and then, whether you get anything, people acknowledge you, good things happen or bad things happen because you said so. I want you to think for a moment about what power that gives you as a creator. So today we were talking about creation. That was the name I gave this episode. You're a creator. You can create. Create anything you like. Well, these are the tools. So the first thing is understand that you do create your life experience. You may have done it unconsciously up to now by having been taught to be reactive and then continuing in that reactive mode. Or you can do, here's a magic phrase, notice and choose. Notice and choose. Most people do not take time to notice what's going on inside of them. They experience it, anger, frustration, negativity, and then react to it. Someone does something you don't want, you react, you yell at them, or you give them the cold shoulder or stomp off. Instead, notice, that person did X, and then ask yourself a simple question. Okay, they did X. What do I wish to create? I'm in charge here. What do I wish to create? And I'll give you another silly, it's not silly, but small, that's a better word, small example. I joined a networking group some years ago, and the particular networking and group I joined was a BNI, Business Networking International. And they have rules, and one of the rules is in a given chapter, you can only have one member, a certain category, one plumber, one, you know, whatever, one mortgage broker, one real estate, residential real estate agent. And they do that because their mantra is passing referrals. And if there were 15 or two, even of the same profession in a given chapter, now that you can go join a different chapter, but in each chapter, they limit it to one, you know, vertical, one professional vertical. And I joined as a coach, and more specifically, a business coach. Meaning a focus on helping people grow their businesses, work less, create more sales, provide better service, improve their sales force, you know, the elements in creating better business. Right as I joined, I was able to join this chapter because there was a business coach there and they left. They were going to go across country for a little while, a few weeks or months, to do a project. So they left that chapter and the seat was open. I had an interest in meeting the fellow just to get to know him, and I love meeting people and getting to know him. So I made an appointment with him. They call in BNI, they call it a one-to-one, where you sit down together and chat about each other's business and you learn something. So we had a one-to-one set up and I was going to go meet this fellow. And about an hour before the meeting, I got this phone call. And the phone call, I didn't even get a phone call. Sorry, I got a text. And the text said, yeah, I don't really have time to meet. Don't really want to. So I texted back and I said, okay, you want to reschedule? Nah, not really interested. Okay, cool. So that was what was. Now, I went through this mental process at the moment because this was several years ago and I was working on this stuff that I'm telling you. I thought, well, that asshole, I could be really mad and call him a jerk, and especially since he said he didn't really want to meet at all. Like, what a weenie, right? I mean, I could have easily felt like that. And the thoughts paraded through my mind, but because I was working on this whole framework, they didn't go through me. They were kind of over there, like on the stage. And I thought, well, I could put these actors on stage, be mad, feel disrespected, think the guy's a jerk wad or whatever. I could have put those actors on stage. Instead, I did what I just said. I backed up and I said, okay, cool. Given what is, he's canceled the meeting and doesn't want to reschedule. That's the truth of what is. All the rest I made up. He's being rude. He doesn't care. He thinks I'm competition and he's mad at me. You know, I could make up a whole bunch of meaning. The only facts I knew, meeting is canceled, no reschedule. So those are the only facts. So I thought, the question, given what is, meeting canceled, no reschedule, what do I want to create? I thought about it for a minute and I thought, well, if I'm in charge of this, I don't want to create hate. I don't want to create negativity. I don't want to create animosity. I don't really want that. So what do I want to create? Well, I want to create the opportunity to talk maybe later, maybe in a few months when he comes back. I want to create the opportunity to keep things nice. So instead of feeling, even feeling angry, now I could have felt angry and then sent a sort of non-committal, okay, fine, message. But instead, because of what I wanted to create, I sent a message back that went like this. Great. I hope you have a fabulous time in a new thing that you're doing. And perhaps we'll get a chance to connect when you get back. Now, I have no idea what he didn't answer. So I have no idea what he expected to get back. I have no idea if he even cared. But how it left it is my body was full of equanimity and peace. I felt great. I genuinely looked forward, and I did see him later. We never actually scheduled the one-to-one to get to know each other well, but I did see him later when he came back in a place where I met other people, and so I knew who he was, what he looked like, and we waved and were pleasant and everything. But it turns out he never really actually wanted to have a meeting. I still don't know why. But we left it because of how I chose to act. Two things. One, no negative stuff was expressed. And two, I experienced no negative emotion. Now, that's a long explanation of a very small situation, but it illustrates the power that you have to create your life. And by that, I mean create how you experience things. So let's talk about more profound, important things. I want you to think right now of two areas in your life where you want some significant change. You really want something different. Now, I don't know what they might be. It might be a relationship problem, and it might be an income problem. And I say problem because that's probably how you think about it. It isn't really a problem. It's a project. A problem only happens when we attach emotion to a project. What? Yeah. If I look and I think the fence needs to get painted or the toilet needs to get fixed, That's not a problem. It's just a project. If I say, I don't want to do that. How come? I have turned the project into a problem. I have created a set of negative feelings and, you know, done whatever the consequential damage is to myself and maybe people around me by being negative. So I want you to keep that distinction in your mind. Every single one of us every day has things, activities, events that don't go like we want them to. We have a picture in our mind, I want this to happen, and it doesn't. Maybe a little bit off, maybe way off. You get to decide if that's a problem or a project. You get to decide to ignore it. You get to decide to stomp around and be pissed off about it. You get to decide to look for the friggin' culprit and blame. Or you get to decide, okay, I'm not going to ignore it, but I need to do something to fix it. What do I want to do? In complete harmony and peace. And turn it into a project. And what you've done is you've changed your whole life experience with respect to that little thing. Now, you may think to yourself, well, that sounds fine for pissant little things like a message from some guy or some small thing. But I can tell you from personal experience and from many, many clients, it works in those little situations. It works most powerfully in the gigantic, earth-shattering monster situations that blindside you, the blindside from hell. The IRS empties your accounts. Your partner is cheating on you and suddenly you find out. They come in and slap you with divorce papers. Your partner at work is embezzling from you and you find out. You get fired from work. You suddenly get a cancer or other significant health diagnosis. Those situations are where this power shines brightest. Because it is in those situations, the heavies, the bad ones, the real unexpected, take your breath away, earth-shattering stuff, where we, if we do normal reactions, create a massive cascade of negative feelings. Why did this happen to me? How dare they do this, that, and the other? What the frick? How come always it, you know, why are they picking on me? Why did they audit my tax return? Why did I get fired? How come we didn't have any notice about the downsizing? You know, or if it's your partner, you know, any of those terrible things, they have the potential to create the most massive emotional reactions and hence pump the most poison in your bloodstream. Now, why do I say poison? Well, I'm going to digress here for a minute and we'll come right back to where we are. There's a book called Anger Kills, and it's written by a doctor who did a multi-decade study of people who were angry and by extension stressed or upset, which are just milder forms of those same emotional cocktails. They lived that way, often angry, all of those kinds of chemicals. You know what he found out? You die several years sooner. So when I say it's toxic, it is. Those chemicals are corrosive. They're necessary. They move us to, you know, action when there's real danger and so forth. But when we feel them a lot and we live in this state of anger or worry or stress or grief, heavy emotion, they're toxic to the body. They're corrosive, and they shorten your life. And it wasn't just a little bit. In the study he did, it was a decade shorter, I think was the number. 7 to 10 years shorter lifespan, on average, the group that lived in with those heavy chemicals a lot. So when I say it's toxic, it is. So, and I'm not saying don't feel and turn into a robot. But again, this is a notice and choose activity. So if you want to create a life where your life every day is one of positivity, creativity, compassion, love, light, and all that airy-fairy stuff that feels so good, then notice and choose. When external things happen that might have offended you, hurt you, surprised you, even big ones, in fact, especially big ones, notice, wow, this happened. I'm experiencing unexpected pain, emotional, physical pain. And then say to yourself, okay, there's a saying that my wife, she used to hate it when I said this, but she doesn't anymore. And it's this, it's what is, right? Silly statement, what is. Well, we get so caught up when we start arguing with reality. We're trying to force reality, other people's opinions, attitudes, behaviors, something we did or didn't do, or someone else did or didn't do, into a box that we want. No, it's got to be this. Well, when you fight with reality, you lose 100% of the time. So if you have, not if, when, of course you're going to have those things. When you have one of those big moments happen to you, okay, they happened. Then make a conscious decision as the owner and creator of your life to say, all right, this has happened. What do I need to do now? What am I going to do with this maybe big pile of crap? What am I going to do with it? Well, what you don't need to do is stay in rage, stay in anger, stay in helplessness, stay in blame, stay in any of those things very long. Because two things are true. The longer you stay in that chemistry of heavy chemicals, the more damage to your body, and it's not healthy, and the more limited your creativity, problem-solving skills, and so forth become. We literally become less intelligent. We have less access to our higher reasoning functions when we are in those negative emotions. So noticing where you are and then choosing to do something about it is your key to creating life the way you want it. Those things are still going to happen. But noticing and choosing is the key. Now, let's move out of the heavy into the positive for the rest of our episode tonight. Here's what I've noticed about myself. I struggled for decades with depression, serious, significant MDD, major depressive disorder, big deal, caused me to do a lot of stupid things over decades, like multiple failed relationships, addictions, a couple of suicide attempts, etc. Because I believed the stories of I'm not good enough, I'll never make it, I can't this, that, and the other. In 2007, I changed and began a new life, not with the magic wand, but with a fierce determination to notice and choose. So since that time, because I've done that, and I continue to do it every day, I've become an author. I've written 19 books, most of which are number one bestsellers. Wow. And I wasn't even an author before that. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to not allow these past traumas and negative things to affect me. I started writing because I realized as I did the work to overcome this old habit I had of being destroyed by these negative emotions, that I learned a lot. And so the writing was two things. It was an outlet to tell stories, and it was also an outlet to write books to help people. It was an outlet to express the learnings that I had found and a way to share them with you. And so then that became more and more my mission, my purpose, to discover the pathway to sanity, to creativity, to this ultimate life I talk about, and to share it in as many ways with as many people as I can. So getting out of the negative is one piece, and then moving consciously and intentionally to the positive, because if carrying those negative chemicals reduces my creativity, reduces my ability to think clearly, reduces my ability to cope positively and create positive outcomes, then going to the other end increases all those things. So that means I want healthy doses of oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, and anandamide, especially in my bloodstream. I want those. Why? Because they make us feel happy. They make us feel creative. They bring us a feeling of compassion. We feel a sense of connectedness to others. Well, I'll tell you, you already know this. This is not news. You feel a way better sense of life and joy and fun when you're in that place of happiness. Well, here's the good news. You can go there anytime you want. The same mechanism that produces the negative ones produces the positive ones. You think a thought and then you believe it. Thinking a thought and believing it is the trigger for all of these emotional chemicals. All right, so that means you train. Notice and choose. You train yourself. Something happens. What am I going to create here? And the more you practice, the more that you really become curious. What can I create here? So I wrote a book, and instead of going, nobody's going to read it, nobody cares, I thought, wow, I wonder who I can help with this. Oh, I'm going to write this other one. I wonder who I can help with that. I decided to become a coach. A coach is a person who lives, my business is the business of people encouragement, just like an athletic coach. I hire coaches. I have a vocal coach who has helped me over the years learn to sing better and perform. And I was already in a professional choir, but I wanted to do more solo work. So I've been working for years now to do that. And I'm really excited about where it's gone and where it's come and what I can do now that I couldn't do before. But that is because I noticed, okay, I don't do this as well as I want. Part of it was because I didn't have technique. Part of it was fear-based. Part of it was that belief that I couldn't do this well. Well, you know what believing that sort of thing does? It puts all these chemicals in your bloodstream that is doubt, hold back, don't try, you can't, it won't, et cetera, et cetera. So by working both on the technique and interrupting that pattern, what if I can? Well, who says I can't? Who made that rule? What if I can create lots of music? And what if I can sing really well so people ask and so people like it and they buy it and it's good and it lifts people's souls? And it's not even about the money for me, although I do make money doing it with books and music. But the thing is, I made a conscious choice to do what? To create this ultimate life business. To serve, and the name we give it is coaching, but it's really being in the people encouragement business, blind spot protection service, anxiety annihilation business, obstacle obliteration business. My commitment is to help this year, it's 250 million, but every single person I can, as long as I draw breath. Help how? Help you learn the kinds of things that we talked about today so that you realize, and there's 50 others, but this is just one, you have the levers of joy. You have the levers of having fun in your life. They're in your hand. They're right there in front of your control console. They're right there on your keyboard. The joy button is right there. But if you're like me, I didn't know how to push it. I didn't know how to operate these mechanisms to create positive creativity, to finish projects, to make a living doing what I wanted to do. You know, that fabled and wonderful place of getting paid for what you want to do. You know what? I get paid to speak. I get paid to write. I get paid to sing. I get paid to coach. And none of it was an accident. It was an intentional creation. And it involved both parts, developing skills, and eliminating all of that negative conversation that we all have. We all yearn to add good to the world, but we deeply fear judgment and rejection. And that fear gets in the way of everything. Why? It produces that chemistry, the chemistry of resistance, the chemistry that says maybe they'll laugh, the chemistry that says, oh, later, it's not my time, it's not going to work. That chemistry. It's called the chemistry of resistance. Now, there's an author named Stephen Pressfield who wrote a bunch of books. One's called The Artist Journey, and one's called The War of Art, and Turning Pro and Doing the Work. And the latest one is a book called Put Your Ass Where Your Heart Wants to Be. And all of them are about this resistance that every person, you, me, and everyone else, feels whenever we try to create our art and put it in the world. And by art, I don't mean pictures like this, or necessarily music, or writing books, or anything else, but it is the core thing the core yearning that you have to create and put into the world. We feel resistance. We feel fear. It gets in the way. The good news is fear we make up. Fear is created by that chemistry. Believing thoughts that aren't true creates that chemistry of, pull back, et cetera, et cetera. The good news, you can create different chemistry anytime you want. So your invitation today is to start right now. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care what situation you're in right now. I don't care if you just lost your job. If you face that challenge with anger, frustration, and fear, you won't be as creative, you won't see as many opportunities, and you won't be able to handle it as well as if you face it with love, creativity, positivity, and with a certainty in your own heart that there's a way through this. There's always a way through. The sun always comes up. Now, you may need to go get some help. I did a lot. When I changed my life in 2007, I had to go see a ton of counselors and hire coaches and do stuff. But you know what? I had to do the work. And with that kind of help, I was able and still am able to live in an increasingly positive, positive, positive way. And compared to where I was, I don't even recognize either the person or the life I used to live. The fear-based, failure-expectant life was where I was. Today, I have joy-based, success-expectant life, regardless of setbacks and mistakes and other people's behavior. It's all okay. And so following these very steps that I've talked to you about, and today was simply one. It's notice and choose. Notice the chemistry you have. What are you feeling? What do you want to do with it? Given what is, instead of arguing with what is, given what is, what do you wish to create? Now, those are simply two things. Given what is, what do I wish to create? And notice and choose. I don't expect that just because I told you them, you'll be able to change your whole life and move forward. I couldn't. I needed a lot of practice and a lot of work. That's great because that's what I love doing. That is my whole work, is to help this year 250 million people. Now, that story I said I'd tell you later, and here it is. My year starts October 14th, 2 months ago. So right now, I'm 2 months into my new year. I set a goal in October to reach and help 250 million people. Last year, the goal was 50 and we reached 75. So I multiplied the goal by five and I have no idea how I'm going to reach it and I don't care. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help that many people. And here's what I mean by help. By help, I mean help you understand who you are, how to take control of your emotions, your feelings, your creation process. Because whether you know it or not, or believe it or not, you are creating your life. You're creating your life one thought at a time, one belief at a time, one choice at a time. And you know what? Going back to this picture behind me of a creation, an act of creation, you are a divine creation. You're a child of the divine. Now, whatever religious or non-religious tradition you have doesn't even matter. You're a child of God. Whatever you conceive that to be. You're not an accident. You were created with love, with intention, on purpose. Wow! What a heritage. What a pedigree. You have a mission and purpose, and you have felt like that. You have felt it. You've wondered what it is. You felt those yearnings and that push. Well, of course you have. You come from a divine source. So that yearning and push to add good to the world and to do good, help people, all the ways people say that, that comes right out of heaven, right from the creation of you. That's who you are. It's who I am. It's who we all are. So you're a divine being. You have a mission and purpose that you not only agreed to before you came, but you were stoked about. Think about that. You know what the third thing is you have the gifts and talents you need to complete that mission and do it well. But the choice to do so is always ours. Now, that choice includes notice and choose. It includes what do I want to create? It includes getting the help you need to develop your skill. A simple analogy will help. You want to learn to play the piano? You do it fastest with instruction. You do it fastest with a piano teacher. You want to learn to play tennis? Get a tennis coach. You want to learn to have a decent life? Get a life coach. You want to learn how to blow your business up? Get a coach that can help you with business thing. Like, get the resources in your corner to explode your growth. I mean, we're all free to plod along, but that isn't very satisfying. I sure enjoy. Oh, I can't even describe the level of pleasure and fun I have in my life today compared to how it used to be, even though I was making ridiculous money. Today, I live with purpose, prosperity, and joy every day, every minute, no matter what happens around me. And you might say, well, so what? The good news, you can have it. There's nothing preventing you from having all that you want except a choice, a commitment, and getting the help you need. If you do those things, I can promise you, you can create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.